Let's continue our study now on Return to Eden. And take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me over to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2. And I want to review with you, before we get into the meat, we would call this study together Messiah's Throne Room. Messiah's Throne Room. But before we do, let's look at, and I brought you to the conclusion yesterday, my understanding of the Scriptures, that indeed the Garden of Eden was located in the city of Jerusalem. That is Jewish tradition. For almost 6,000 years, 5,760 some years, I forget the exact year it is now, they're all from our calendar about 300 years, but for that period of time, Judaism has believed that indeed Jerusalem was the location, the Temple Mount, the location for the Garden of Eden, the foundation stone they refer to it as. And that is the thinking that they have because they believe that the spot where God created man in the Garden of Eden was the location of man's redemption. Since they believe in the sacrificial system, they believed it was exactly where the altar stood when the temple was on the Temple Mount, and when the altar will be there at the temple complex on the coming temple, it will be on the spot where God created man, thus the place of his redemption as well. That's Jewish tradition. And I'm not saying that that's an absolute. I'm simply saying that's what they have believed and have passed on for all of these many years. Now, they have spent some time in the book. They have come to some understanding. And once you then start to study the facts about where the Garden of Eden is located, it really starts to have a lot of evidence to indicate that is it. I was very well pleased. Dr. Charles Wagner, who is a Bible teacher par excellence, he'll be speaking down here. In fact, I think next year he and I are together, aren't we, Tom, if I remember the schedule correctly, but we'll be together in a prophecy conference up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They're planning for this November. We've been together. He's pastored for many years, president of school, and we ate dinner together last night, and about three times he said, that was excellent. Well, I'm not looking for the gratification, but I was pleased to hear someone else of his caliber would say that as he listened to it, and I didn't even know it was in the audience yesterday. As he listened to it, he said, hey, that makes sense. And so that's how you test things. When you come to some kind of a conclusion that nobody else has really brought up before, you want to test it. I'd already taken it to Dr. Mark Bailey, who is the president of Dallas Seminary. I had taken it to Dr. Joe Jordan, head of Word of Life. I had taken it to Dr. Stan Toussaint, who will be here this next week as a Bible teacher, and many others. Paul Dixon, president of Cedarville College. And nobody had been able to destroy me as far as that. Many of them said, oh, that's very interesting, and let's look into it a bit more. I'm going to now try to add information to what I have given you thus far that will even more authenticate that that is the exact location. And I believe with all of my heart that this is true, and therefore that's why I'm standing here and teaching it. But let's review just for a few moments. Genesis chapter 1, the Garden of Eden, I believe, was established on the third day of creation, verse 9 of chapter 1. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the places he gathered together, the sea, he called that. And God saw it was good. And then verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, and whose seed is in itself of the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So on the third day of creation, he brings into existence trees, fruit trees, herbs, grass, shrubs, etc. And I believe that's the day he actually established on the earth, having separated the sea from the land, making one earth and the other a sea. He then puts the Garden of Eden into place at the location that I suggest to you and I submit to you is the city of Jerusalem. In chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, we see that indeed that's exactly what had happened. He had the garden together. He then brings man, who he had created, Adam, and put him in the garden to tend the garden. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden afterward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant. This is just a rehearsal of what had happened. You see, chapter 1 is creation in Genesis. Chapter 2, the special effects of creation. It's the explanation of how everything came together. And he has two particular trees in the Garden of Eden that he wants to draw attention to. First is the tree of life. I happen to believe, and I won't be absolute on this, but I am about 99.44% absolute, that it was an almond tree that was the tree of life. We can debate that and have some fun discussing it. And then there was the tree of knowledge and good and evil. I believe that was most likely the fig tree. He said that they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 16 says all the other trees you can eat of, but don't eat of that tree. And notice all the other trees, they ate of the tree of life. They could eat of that tree, but they could not eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. We see then the appearance of sin in the Garden of Eden with the fact that an angel named Lucifer, who was the most prominent of all the angels, the one that God had placed in position over his creation, the most beautiful of all of his creation, decided to exercise his free will. He falls in sin after having five times made the statement, I will do this, I will, I will, I will. So he falls. Then he appears in the form of a serpent, comes into the garden, chapter 3, verse 1. He causes Adam and Eve to doubt. He uses deception. He distorts what God actually says, and through that he brings them into a place of sin as well. So we see sin originates in the Garden of Eden. We then see sacrifice instituted, that sacrificial system that we traced through some of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Killing an animal, shedding the blood of that animal for the clothing, thus the covering, and setting up a sacrificial system that we trace through the book some. And so that gives us a bit of a background as far as the Garden of Eden is concerned. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28 just a moment, and let me just trace a little bit farther before we get into some comparisons that I want to bring to your attention. Let me trace just a little bit farther issue of the holy mountain, the holy mountain of God. In chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel, we see a record of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden, having been created. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was of the covering. And he goes ahead to explain 9 of the 12 stones that would ultimately be the same stones that would end up in the breastplate of the high priest. Brother asked about that. I tried to do some research, and the commentaries I looked at, there was no significance that they brought to it. All that they could see right here was that this was explaining the beauty of Lucifer, who would rebel against God and be put out of the Garden of Eden.